This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, and great to have you here on this Friday. 49 right now, cloudy, low of 35 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high of 60, low of 37. And then Sunday, sunny skies, get up to 66. That sounds pretty good. I'm looking forward to that. Let's talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about his tax proposal that's coming next week. And I want to talk, too, about Fox News, because my next guest spent years there. John LeBoutelier is with us. He now hosts Revolution the Podcast. I just listened to his latest two podcasts. They're fantastic. Cool. Revolution the Podcast. John, great to have you on WILS.
Michael, great to be back with you. Thank you.
Now, before we get, I should note, too, you made a prediction last time you were on. It was the day before that healthcare vote was going to happen. You said it's not going to happen. They're not voting on healthcare. And you were 100% correct. So I want to give you that credit.
Well, thank you. You could feel it. You know, that thing was troubled from the get-go, and they gave up on it. And now they're back telling us they're going to be back at it next week, which I don't believe.
Listening to the podcast, it sounds like you are not in any way a fan of what President Trump is doing. Is that fair to say?
Well, I'm not much of it, I have to say. I think that it's what I thought a year ago when he first ran, that he was saying things that were ridiculous. He was out and out deceiving the voters about what he was going to do. I'm sad so many of them bought it. I understand that, especially up in your neck of the woods in Michigan and in the Rust Belt, where they're desperate mm-hmm. for a change in direction for our country. I totally get that. But they bought a Donald Trump that doesn't exist.
Well, someone would say he's trying. He tried to get health care through. Obviously, it didn't get through the House.
No, he didn't try. You don't give up in Washington after 17 days. He doesn't know anything about how to govern. It's clear. He even told people in private that he didn't really like the bill that they were pushing. He said, "I just want something to sign." Well, that's not good enough. You know, you got to get a bill that you believe in. You're the president of the whole country, so you got to go around the country. You got to sell the country on this particular bill. You got to go on TV, address the country, say, "Look, we got this major problem. Obamacare. It's deteriorating. And I'm trying to save your health care by this new plan." And boom, here's what my plan is. And really use the White House, use the bully pulpit of the presidency to rally the country behind the bill. That's how you get something passed.
He's saying, though, he's going to come back to it. They're going to try again. Do you think it'll work next time?
No. I mean, what he said today was next week they're going to do health care and tax reform, and they're going to announce a tax reform plan on Wednesday and get all this stuff done in the next few weeks. Forget it. That's not how it works. You can do basically one big thing a year, and he's already frittered away the crucial first 3 months of the year, which is when you really lay the groundwork. When you've gotten elected, the first year after the election is when you can really govern, because by the time you get to the second year, next year, mm-hmm. Congress is running for re-election, and that's what they care about.
So, well, why wasn't Paul Ryan, why weren't Republican leaders advising him this way when this was happening?
Well, we don't know that they weren't. I mean, the thing is, he created a pretty good cabinet, I think, but a terrible, amateurish, minor league White House staff with a bunch of clowns in there who don't know anything about how to run the government. It's clear they don't. They've let him. He knows nothing about it. He starts, he doesn't get the votes he wants on the health care bill. So he starts going after the Freedom Caucus by tweeting that we've got to beat them. No, you don't have to beat them. You have to recruit them.
Now, of his advisors, who should he be getting rid of immediately?
I think Bannon, he's already sort of gotten rid of him, even though he's still there. He's clearly gotten rid in her own way of Kellyanne Conway. You never really see her anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's brought in his son-in-law, who is very influential, which by itself is a problem, because nothing against the young guy. He's 36, but he's never been in government, Michael. He doesn't know anything. And he's been given an unbelievable portfolio. He's got the Middle East, China, Mexico, reinventing the way government works, which will never happen. How can this one guy be doing all this stuff and be the chief advisor to his father-in-law? I mean, and he's never been in any of these things. He doesn't know anything about it.
Is it, what's the best thing he's done in office so far, President Trump?
Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. That's an A-plus appointment, and they got him on the court fast, and I think that was the best thing he's done.
Hmm. Now, how did that work out so well while the health care thing went awry?
Well, he made a good choice. He had a good list. He picked. He made a good choice, and he left it up to Mitch McConnell over in the Senate to finagle with the Senate rules and get the guy confirmed with whatever he got, you know, middle 50 votes.
Do you think Republican leaders across the board feel the way you do about his performance so far?
Yeah, in private they do. They won't say it like I will publicly because I'm not in office. I can say whatever I want. They won't say it. They are quite worried about this presidency.
Hmm.
It's all over the map. It's confused. It's chaotic. They don't quite know what to do with it, you know?
John LeBoulier is with us here on WILS, former U.S. Congressman, Republican, I should know, too, and he hosts Revolution, the podcast. And like I said, I listened to, it's fascinating material to listen to, by the way, John. And you're basically on the podcast, so you think that his presidency may be doomed because of this Russia connection, the scandal there. How serious is this going to be?
I think it's very serious. I think when you have the FBI investigating the president and his campaign staff going all the way back to last July, that is a serious thing. None of us, none of your listeners or you or me would want the FBI investigating us. I wouldn't sleep at night if I thought they were looking at me, you know? And
well, they were looking at Hillary too, right? And that kind of passed.
Yeah, but we knew that, you know. I don't even know if the election would have ended up the same way if we had known that both presidential nominees were under FBI investigation at the same time. We didn't know about Trump.
Do you think it will lead to him having to leave office early?
Oh, I don't know. Way too early to tell about that. I will say this, if his campaign staff in any way colluded or cooperated with the Russians during the campaign to do things in the campaign, that's treason. And that will result in the end of the presidency, of his presidency. Because it's inconceivable that high-level Trump staffers did things and Trump didn't know about it. Trump runs his own operations. This isn't Reagan, you know, who was kind of vague
about
it.
What about those that say, look, the Democrats essentially were colluding with the media against Trump? What would you say to them?
It's not the same thing. We're talking about, and that is true, by the way, the media. The mainstream media is in the tank for the Democrats. We know that. But they're American media. We're talking about Vladimir Putin, a foreign government, trying to rig an American election. But that's bad. Okay, and there's no doubt that happened. The only question left is, did the Trump campaign cooperate in the collusion? Did they solicit the collusion? Did they actively work with the Russians?
What the Russians really even did. If you know, in terms of what they actually managed to do in tilting the election, what do you think that was really?
Oh, we already know what they did. They hacked all that Democratic National Committee stuff, Hillary's campaign stuff, and leaked it through a cutout to WikiLeaks.
And you think that really changed the outcome?
First of all, the intent was to change the outcome. Whether it did or not is a different issue.
Yeah.
The crime is attempting to do something, whether the same result. There's attempted murder and there's murder.
Mm-hmm.
But the attempt is still a big crime.
So it would take, you imagine Republicans all turning in mass against him and impeaching him? Is that it?
I don't imagine it unless there's evidence that his campaign colluded with the Russians. Mm. If there is evidence, then I think they'll be forced to turn. But we're not there yet.
We're just talking
if there's this stuff.
If it happens. Yeah, John LeBoulier with us here on 1320 WILS. His podcast is Revolution, the podcast. Where can people hear the podcast, John?
You can get it at SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, which are all big places for podcasts. Or you just Google it. You Google Revolution underscore the podcast.
It'll come right up.
It'll come right up. Click it and start listening. And about 23 of them, I think we've done. I do it with Arlene Bynum from Toronto. Yeah. Very good broadcast.
And again, there's certainly more time to listen to you because here it's so condensed. I want to get to Fox News, John, because you spent years there. What's the future now that Bill O'Reilly's leaving? First of all, what is your thought about them deciding to boot him out?
Oh, he had to go. I think when the advertisers left, he was doomed and had to go. And I still think Fox has a problem, though, now that he's gone, Ailes is gone. They still have executives running the place who were in on all of this. They were not in on the sexual harassment. They were in on covering it up, hiding it, paying the women, threatening the women, denigrating the women. And until they get rid of those particular executives, I think Fox still has a problem.
Now, when you were there, did you sense any of that kind of an atmosphere? Was that in the air somehow?
Well, I'm a man, so I didn't know about women being sexually harassed. I never knew anything about it. But there is a morale problem there, Michael, that employees across the board are treated badly by management. It is a extremely difficult place to work. Nobody's particularly happy there.
Did you experience anything like that?
I had executives come down on me about things. Now, look, everybody has problems at work in whatever job you have, I know. But this was not a pleasant place to work, and people are not happy there. You know, they're happy to be working at all, and they're happy to be in the TV industry because it's fun. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of downside.
Why was that? The number one cable news channel. Why was that atmosphere so toxic?
It comes from Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, basically, everything was for him. He's very sharp, very smart, genius about TV, and he treated people like dirt. And he could get away with it because the ratings were so good that if you don't like it, you're out of here. That's basically their attitude. You want to be on the air, you're going to either do it at this pay rate or you're not going to do it at all. We've got 30 other people who will take your place. And so it's a very low morale. And I'll tell you, yesterday the morale went down when, not just after O'Reilly left, they were happy about that, most workers, but when they heard that they paid him $25 million as a going away present after being fired for bad behavior. Hmm. You tell me, how does the makeup woman or the audio technician who's making union wages, how do they feel about some guy, he breaks all the rules and he gets paid $25 million?
That's a golden parachute. Do you feel the Murdoch, the sons of Rupert Murdoch, are they trying to move Fox away from a conservative slant? Why is that?
No, I don't know about the conservative slant as much as the bad corporate culture that I just described.
So you're supportive of what they're doing, the sons?
Yep, I am.
Now, did you interact with the Murdochs?
No, I've never met any of them. I think they're trying to modernize the place a little bit. And it won't change necessarily the message on air, which has a big audience, has a big resonance. They want to keep that audience, which they should. But you can't have people going on TV and saying one thing and then behaving in a different way off air. It's not right.
Yeah. Well, it certainly at some point is going to catch up to the person. John LeBoutelier, find him at the podcast, weekly podcast, Revolution the Podcast. Revolution the Podcast, former Congressman John LeBoutelier. John, I really always enjoy having you here on WILS. Thank you very much.
I love being on with you, Michael. Yeah. Anytime, I'm right here.
Let's talk again.